from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, this is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show. The Knicks win over the Cavaliers. Take it with a grain of salt. Asterisk on that win. Last game of the season. Game number 82. We're going to talk some Knicks basketball. We got to talk some NBA playoffs and how we're going to see this thing project. A lot of things going around in sports, so you already know all the other sports in session. So let's get right into it. I don't want to delay this thing any longer. So just be real quick. Audio archive episodes of the past week. You can go on bleedblueshow.com. Of course, of iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher as we look up the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue, or search for the streets for the New York Knicks. Avenue, the Knicks win on their game, last game of the year. I would like to say, you know, Cornet had a nice little game, put a little nice little round ball together. But Av, what's up with you, man? How's everything? Knickerbocker Avenue fan.
What's going on, Steve?
What's going on?
Interesting night tonight. You know, the Knicks end the season. We can actually, like, you know, rest easy for a little while. We can talk. I mean, yeah, we get to talk about some real basketball when we talk about the playoffs. Another chapter in the New York Knicks, storied history, and another 50 loss season. I'm very glad that it's over, but at the same time, I'm just kind of like, I don't know how to feel about next season. I mean, usually when the season ends, you know, whether it was good or bad, you still have like a little bit of, you know, a little hope because, you know, you either got a draft pick or you know something's going to happen. You know, there's some free agency craziness. There's going to be something. It's starting to really feel like right now, this is the rebuild that we should have had, like, I don't know, 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago, who knows. And now we're actually starting to go into it now that, you know, the season's over, contracts starting to fall off. And we're actually going to see what the actual direction of this team really is. But the one thing I got to say is that, you know, I'm thankful that the season's over. I'm thankful I got to see this, you know, live out this whole season. I'm thankful that we had such a great season of Knickerbocker Ave talk, you know, week in and week out. Anybody who's listened to the archives or follows the show, I mean, this year we had some fire for this year. I mean, no matter who was it from, whether it was from Marlo or Sim, the Godfather, Dominic Chandler, Brayson, Little Dre to the Rack. You know, we had all kinds. We had Nick Therapy in here a couple of times. I mean, this was a great year in terms of conversation because we had a lot more insight, a lot more passion, and we got a lot of more perspective because sometimes we get lost in our own, you know, because of the team being in the way it is and the organization being run the way it is, you kind of get stuck in that rut. And luckily we had some loyal stakeholders who occasionally called in, and of course the ones that called in every week and joined us.
Well, Av, you get too gung-ho. Hold on, who calls in, who doesn't call in? Don't worry about that. The bottom line is,
because you know what?
Don't worry. You shouldn't worry about who calls in, who doesn't call in. This platform is open to any Knicks fan who desires to call in. A lot of people do listen in. So at the end of the day, it's one of those situations when the team, like you said, is in the rut where the team's not doing well. But I look at it like this, man. Whoever dials in, whoever calls in, you had that dialogue and you enjoy it for what it is, whatever perspective that brings to the table on that evening. And you got to take it for what it is on that evening. That's kind of how I look at that's how I look at any of the platforms that we do here on the Bleed Blue Show. You speak your mind, enjoy the conversation, agree with what you can agree with and disagree what you disagree with, and just keep it moving. This is really, to me, it's not really about, oh man, who called in, who not. It's not really about that. It's really about people saying, whoever do happen to come on this platform, say what they need to say and enjoy and have a good time and say it honestly as best as they could on whatever the topic is. And when it comes to the Knicks,
I feel 100%, brother. Mm-hmm. I feel you 100% on that. It's just what we it's just, you know, when I go back into the archive on BlueBlueShow.com and I listen to some of the things that we've, you know, that have been said and have been spoken, it's just been a lot of good, great debate, you know, from our stakeholders and you know, even some of the, you know, the part-time calls. I mean, that's the part that I wanted to, like, rear. It was a great season to talk about, you know, different perspectives and different things to look at. And, of course, occasionally, you know, depending on where you live in the, you know, in this great country and in this great world, you know, you get to, sometimes you get to see the local team, you know, because I know, you know, some people, you know, live in other parts of the country, and when they talk about their local teams, like, hey, I see this person, you know, hell, when I was living in Philadelphia, I saw a lot of the Sixers, and, you know, given that perspective, and then, you know, you get that. That's what I love, and that's what I'm really reiterating as to the great dialogue that we've gotten from all, you know, from all facets, from all corners, and that's what I'm saying. This was a great season. And, you know, not saying that any other season was bad, but this was a really good season.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, I think they're all great, to be honest. Let's bring on Chandler. Chandler, the Knicks win with an asterisk. We got to say that Knicks win with an asterisk. Game number two in the is definitely over. But Chandler, Night Chandler 7, what's going on? How you doing?
All right. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, man. This last game, what do you take from it as far as moving on as a team, as a franchise? I thought Cornette looked good and Burke had a little bounce to his step. I like the fact that even in the last several games, Nolan Keane is trying to be more aggressive, even though he can't hit that jump shot, but he's running the break. He's playing defense like he normally has. I think I'm actually at the end of the season when it comes to Frank Nolan Keane, and then we can go to Avenue on his thoughts on that. I like where the direction where the kid is going. He got a lot of experience this year.
Yeah, I mean, when he finally got the opportunity to play some minutes without having to look over his shoulder, I thought he's progressed in some areas. I think he's found out what he needs to maybe work on, and hopefully the organization has some actual player development people to work with him in the offseason, you know, diet and all of that other stuff. How to properly train versus just going into the gym and throwing up weights for no reason. I like what I saw out of Cornette when he's gotten an opportunity. Damian Dotson is finally getting some opportunities late in the year, and you see that what we said at the beginning of the year, the kid has talent. He just needs the opportunity. So if you look at some of the young players that we drafted, some of the unsigned free agents, and you look at like a Trey Burke, you can't say that this organization doesn't bring in talent. It's just, do we ever develop it? But that's why I've been upset all year with the excuses about injuries and everything else. This team has talent, and we've seen that talent in flashes from multiple young players on this team.
And what about your perspective on watching the last two games, the home game versus the Cavs, and then now the away game, but in particular the players, the way they played? How do you see that? We would start with Nolan Keane. Then I want to go to Damian Dotson as well, because I thought he's played, once given the opportunity, he's played very well. But first thoughts on Nolan Keane.
Well, I think that it was a decent rookie year. We talked before, he had that nice flash in the beginning where he was kind of like getting himself into a groove, and then he went through that rookie funk and kind of lost favor, and was losing a lot of playing time to, you know, at certain points to Ramon Sessions, to Jared Jack, to at some points he was losing it to Ron Baker, and then a little bit to Trey Burke. But then once they kind of they started to give him that trust and kind of like shift his focus away from the everyday point guard duties, you saw a glimpse of what he can possibly be. What I've always felt that he always should have been. I always felt that he should have been something more of a two guard, kind of a wing player, just because of his length. And I don't think that he had the handles. I don't think he had the footwork. I don't think that he had the mindset. He definitely had the defense, but he showed that he has some tools. And like Chandler said, if the organization gives him that time, and also over the summer, give him you know, the necessary tools to in terms of his diet, his exercise and conditioning, and then of course, you know, you do a couple of, you know, those little camps. I don't know if he wants to call, you know, if he wants to do the Hakeem Olajuwon camp where he does that. I don't think he needs it, but hey, it's always good to add more talent. All he needs to do is to be given time for him to develop his game and find out his own personal identity and how he can incorporate it into the team identity, whatever that identity might be.
So you've come around on him. I mean, we could go back. Like you always say, go back into the archives of these episodes.
Yes.
You were not high on him at all. And I've asked you that question. Huh?
I was like the anti-Neil Aquina. And I think that once you started to see some of the fake fans turn on him, I also turned on him in the opposite direction, and I started to see some things about him that made me believe that he had not only the talent. I mean, given, should we have drafted him? You know, if it was me making that choice, that pick, obviously not when you know what was available. However, I'm not completely upset with the pick anymore. Now that we've seen a full season of him, we know what he can be, and we know, you know, how he would complement a team. If Porzingis is your unmistakable future, he would be a nice piece in addition to that. And that's why I've really lightened my stance on Neil Aquina.
Yeah, and I think some things with him as well. We saw, especially when Moutier came onto the team, that he looks more comfortable on as the off guard, as a two guard, and then that makes a little sense, because I think a lot of his struggles was when he was the primary one. He doesn't really have the complete handles to break down the defense as far as in the half court. Now you saw some of the moves later in the year when he's on a break, he's got a nice euro step, he could get to the lane. And I'm pretty sure that's a part of the game in the fast break he's going to work on, even in the half court especially. You've got to work on breaking down the defense, working off pick and rolls and curls and back screens and finding players or getting to the hoop. But I think also the number one thing, I really think, well, there's two things. And I think number one, I'll say this, and he did it as the season went, but it still needs to see more. So he had it early on in the season, and it's just rookie growing pains, just working on his defense in the sense of fouls. Like, he had a lot of fouls this year as far as early on in the season. He'd get two quick fouls and he had to get out of the game. But I think when it comes to him offensively, obviously him and a lot of those guys, especially him and Dotson. Now, Dotson, don't let it fool you. I think he had a nice little hot streak. He had the 30-point game, and he's attacking the ball and attacking the rim, and I really love that. But both of those guys definitely need to work on their mid-range games as well, because Dotson, for a while, it took him a while. And I think they'll do that in the summer in some of these camps if they participate in the summer league this year. So that is number one uno, is working, getting a coach and working on that jumper, man. If they could develop especially a 15, 16-foot range, mid-range kind of game jumper, they'll definitely can help this team next year, where the team needs to be, because we have a lot of work to do, and we have contractual situations we got to work with. But as far as youth wise, it was fun to see, and even in the losses, they competed. Burke, Dotson, Neil Aquina, they competed. Cornette, like what they did, man. I like Cornette's game, and I didn't think it was going to translate over well into the NBA when he came out of college, but that G League, I think, really, really helped him, man. But the fact that I already knew he had that jumper since college, but going in the paint, working on his jump hook, sometimes going to the rim, just getting more physical in a sense, maybe he could get more aggressive with rebounding, defensive rebounds. I would like to see that with Cornette in the offseason, how they're going to handle that situation. Let's bring on other stakeholders, all right? Let's get Mr. Lai's perspective. The next season, the game number 82 is finished. This is the last regular season episode. As we know, next week, of course, we'll be back into the playoff modes with the NBA. And then, of course, we'll get back into our summer swing with the Knicks. But Mr. Lai, what's up, bro? We were talking Nila Kina, we were talking Dotson. And then what about other things, positives you take from even in the losses with the youth that we had out there on the floor? What's going on, bro?
What's good, everybody, man?
What's up?
Happy end of the season, you know what I'm saying? Again, man, love the show, man. The show actually gave me an outlet that I didn't have for a minute, you know what I'm saying? Because talking basketball with some of these idiots, man, you know what I'm saying? It's like knocking your head up against a wall, man, when especially when you don't know facts. But, again, man, I'm, you know, a lot of people is against what I'm saying, man, but I don't think we are that far off, you know what I'm saying, from being a contender. And I believe, right, with some luck, you know, and a great pick in this draft, I believe we can make the playoffs next year, right? Watch this. I believe we can make it without KP, right? You're going wild. Everybody is like, oh, he's delusional. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I'm a homer. I'm a Knicks fan. You know what I'm saying? But Amy, we have a, you know, let's include KP in this, right? We have a solid three now. All right? You know what I'm saying? Some would argue, oh, that's not a big three, but in it's our big three. We have KP averaging about 22 to 25 a game. We got THJ who can do similar numbers, 20, 19, 18. Burke, given a full season, I believe, can be a 20 and 8 guy. You understand what I'm saying? Even when defenses pressure him, I believe he can get us 8 assists a game. He's shown it. Even, you know, when teams are attacking and then like in that Milwaukee game where the with defense is a little long, a little athletic for him, he still can run that point. So, with the acquisition of Williams and the emergence of a viable pick in Nila Kina, I believe our bench could be solid as soon as the summer league. Okay, we you know what I'm saying? We have Moutier, you know, coming off that off of this thing. He has something to prove, so he's going to play lights out. I guarantee you. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't see a person play lights out, watch him play lights out for his contract. If this is a contract, yeah, this will determine whether he's in the league or not. You know, you got Dotson, you got Williams. We, you know what I'm saying? I don't know whether they bring back Hicks. I think I'm not personally sold on Hicks. He's okay. I'm not sold on him. You bring back Cornette. You know, you have four solid players, you know, in position already to be a viable second unit. It's a unit that I believe could go on the line in Toronto. Okay, so now all you're talking about is really a solid pick in this draft. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at Knox personally. You know, everybody is talking about Mikal Bridges. I wouldn't be mad if we got him, but I'm looking at Knox. If Knox could come in there with KP, with THJ, with Burke playing as he's playing, and bum-ass cancer cleaning up KP's dirty work, I believe we could be in the playoff position next year. That is optimistic, but I believe that. You know, I believe our young talent has shown some really good things. You know, Dotson looks like a player. I'm not saying, you know, he's, you know, the end all, but he has solid defense. He can hit a three-pointer. Both him and Nila Kina need to both him and Frank need to stay home. You know, Frank needs not to go to Paris like I heard he was supposed to be doing. He needs to stay home, work on that game, work on that strength conditioning, and those. I believe we're not there, man. I mean, it's been a bad year, man. But really, I think Perry did a really good job in kind of plugging up the holes and not panicking and adding more situation to the cap that's already crazy. But I think we good, man. I think we in pretty good position.
All right. Now, Ab, would you like to respond to Mr. Live's comments? And Mr. Live, you can rebut, and then we'll bring on another stakeholder after that.
All right.
Well, I think it's way too early to tell whether you can consider the Knicks somewhat of a playoff contention for next season, because we don't know what number we're going to draft. You don't know what moves Perry makes, and heck, we don't even know the future of our head coach. We don't know if Hornacek is coming back or we're going a different direction. I mean, they're already talking about six or seven different candidates of possibles, and we can discuss that at a later date. We have a nice young core, but it's hard to determine whether or not you can start plugging them in for next year because, again, we don't know what direction Perry and Steve Mills, because you have to factor him in, is going to take the team. Are they going to chase any free agents? Are they going to, what will they do in terms of, with the draft picks? Who knows if they figure a way to move down the draft, acquire extra draft picks, and then of course what they do with their with the unsigned rookies. It's a huge quagmire to be in at this point, and I'm using Dominic's words because. It is. We don't know. There's a huge question mark, a big level of uncertainty when it comes to the New York Knicks because you don't know what direction they're going to go in now that the season is over and now the questions are starting to loom up. Is Hornacek coming back, and what are they going to do with the young talent, and when will KP come back? So it's too early to tell.
Mr. Lai.
Yeah. Well, again, for me, I'm in the summer league already. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the season been over when KP went down. Me personally, I'm looking at who can actually stay, who can go. The brother's absolutely right about, not actually being able to plug him in and go, okay, we could be a playoff team. But then again, you kind of have, for me, it's X's and O's. It's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to kill your cap and let's say trade away some people to add on a player that adds on weight to your cap? I don't think, again, for me, Perry showed patience, and I believe in going along the lines of patience. It's like, look, we have, since we don't know what's happening with KP, we have a great opportunity to plug in our bench. That means not doing too much of anything except scouting real quality players to fit around that hole we got in that starting lineup, which means we can always, we got Williams, we see he's a player. He's another one that also kind of needs strength training and, maybe a little handle and everything like that, but our bench is, for me, almost set, except for that four spot. Okay, I'm basically looking at the blessing we got in having Burke, and I don't see a real need to look at Trey Young or Sexton. So I'm way, I'm looking at a team that can be built for the playoffs. I'm not thinking about politics. I'm not thinking about what coach we got. If you pick Fizdale, if you pick Mark Jackson, those guys are point guard heavy. They're gonna want a real point guard, So and I don't think they'll sacrifice the continuity of the team to bring in somebody like Sexton or Trey when you got Trey Young, when you got Trey Burke here already. And Nilakita looking like he can be a player, maybe even a point guard at some point, maybe even a backup point guard at some point. So, I mean, again, I agree with the brother about, the uncertainty, and of course, we know the season ain't even over, but you know, again, we playing fantasy basketball anyway. So you know, my thing is, look, I think we got a solid, you know, I think we have a great opportunity to not push the envelope and be in great position for that year. We could possibly, you know what I'm saying, we could maybe even stretch Noah's thing and get him out of here for that next season, that's our 2020-21 season.
Yeah. Let's go to Little Dre to the rack and get his thoughts, and then I'll weigh in and we'll go back to Chandler. Well, actually, we'll go to Chandler and then I'll weigh in. But Little Dre to the rack, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, everybody? Hope everybody doing good. Man.
Fire away.
Oh. Well, even throughout the whole season, everybody just said, there's some truth into it.
Is that you doing all that moving?
Oh, wait, no, that's coming from, hold on, let me tell my little brother. All right, he's all good. No.
All right.
Anyway, with everything that happened this season, due to good and the bad, with most of the losses, it's mostly, if we remember, we just couldn't finish on the road and couldn't close out games. We didn't have the players for that. Whether they could have got the players or not is the question. But in terms of saying, okay, this is as of right now, is like looking towards the future. One thing for certain, you can pick out what players you will say, okay, he can come out and do this for our team. And it is true which one you need to decide, okay, who can do this for what. But I think that's something you could pick out earlier rather than later. And from players I can pick out right now, Trey Burke, Luke Kornet, and especially Damian Dawson. And speaking of him, I just want to touch up on him just a little bit. That breakout 30-11 rebounds, right? And I know how people would say we didn't want to, we're not sure about Mikal Bridges for 11th, like for the 10th, top 10 pick, whatever pick we have. I wanted a question, and I really want to see it far-fetched. Can you see Damian Dawson, if basically would be that player we can see out of Mikal Bridges? Now, obviously, I know he ain't as long as him, but I think they're about the same height, 6'6", and then in terms of, like, they're already about the same age, only Dawson one more year older, and he already got the experience in the league. And from what I followed him from before, his jump shot was already solid, and then he played hard on defense, and he got a good amount of athleticism, and I can really see him being, well, pretty much a Langston Galloway for the Knicks, you know, like a nice spark plug we got. When we gave him starting minutes, he came, showed us what he can do for a stretch of games. I can really see him being that player, and we can go and actually draft another player we can use at a different position, like Wendell Carter. Nice, versatile big man, 6'10", 6'11". Go ahead and defend everyone on the floor, a little bit on perimeter. I can really see that, and I'd rather have that right next to Porzingis and next to, well, get into Cantor. I like him, don't get me wrong, but when he declined his contract, that just opened up a whole nother game. So just, I don't mind bringing you back, but just your asking price better be right. And if it's not, because the Knicks made too many bad contracts, and I wouldn't mind seeing him if he went out the door either way, because this is a process the Knicks had to do. And I believe some players, they just need some players to go to actually rise up to the challenge. Like I said, with Luke Kornet, nice man. Like, he basically, like, I think, like a poor man version of KP. He can go ahead and get you some of your blocks, protect the rim, and definitely space up the floor. It's really not far-fetched seeing him as a second man, sixth, seventh, eighth man off the bench and getting you about 8-9 points a game. As far as the Knicks coming back in the playoffs, I'm not really so far. Now, that's a little bit far-fetched, only because there are so many uncontrolled variables the Knicks don't have. And only time can actually show what can Scott Perry do to stabilize some variables. Like, basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, until he can show us some stability in the Knicks roster, don't expect nothing from the Knicks from a year or two, but improvement is not the question. That's all I'm going to say for now.
Well, before we move on, so let me get this straight for what I gathered from what you said. So you're in favor for Mekhi Bridges as far as being, when we get to that part of drafting players, so you're in favor for a player of that caliber. Is that what you're saying?
Like, I don't mind his caliber. Like, way how they were saying how, I don't know how some people compare him to Kawhi. It's not far-fetched because I did say Frank. Like, I like players like that with that potential. Only thing is, with players like the Knicks, it's only so far, like, unless we can get that system and then that team culture, like, team identity rolling to make a player of that to just rise him up. Because, okay, with the Knicks, you're going to have already made players like a Dennis Smith Jr. or Donovan Mitchell that can come step and play in New York. A player like Mekhi Bridges be better fit for the Spurs, and that's why I probably say, well, some people rather say Kawhi. I mean, he got Kawhi potential, but in terms of what Kawhi had at his exposure, is just the Knicks can't offer that. Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's a fine player and he's a national champion, and he plays a position of need that the Knicks do need out there. So when I say that. As far as him being a pick, wherever the Knicks fall in the draft, that would be a player or somebody that's a small forward who can definitely defend, in which he does, and who he actually is a very good shooter and he's athletic. That's somebody the Knicks definitely need, because I think that's also saying my point, and we'll go to Chandler next. I'll be real quick. That the Tim Hardaway Jr. experiment at the number three position, when they started playing him at the three, they started the year. Who was playing at number one? It was it Sessions, I think? It may have been Sessions.
It was
Sessions. Courtney Lee. It was Sessions, Courtney Lee, and Tim Hardaway Jr. really start the year. And Jack came in like maybe four or five games in or something like that. Hardaway Jr. at the three is a no-no. I think we all knew this, and they still went with it, and it just doesn't work because he's not consistent enough to be a good defender, let alone offensive scorer or offensive player to keep us in the game. And that's one point I thought I heard in the broadcast that really almost had me almost falling out of my chair, saying that he was going to work on his leadership. I mean, if the Knicks are buying that lip service, I don't know what to say to you, because Tim Hardaway Jr. is not a leader. All right. I mean, good player, he's a good player. He can get you some good games here and there. There's nothing. I don't see no leadership qualities out of him. Now, Chandler, I don't know if you heard that part of the broadcast, if you even saw it, as far as Tim Hardaway Jr. with leadership. What about, you watch a lot of college basketball, and what about prospects that's going to come out that can help build this team in the draft? When we go back around the draft, we'll get his thoughts on, as far as additional thoughts on Dotson and all the other younger players. But, Chandler, what about, like, I think the Knicks need a very bona fide three. Especially at the three. And I think also with this season, we saw that where KP went out and around with in that Milwaukee game, they weren't going nowhere when KP was in the lineup. They had to learn to play without him anyway, and it wasn't good. So you had that kind of that mental of just trying to play it out without KP. And how do you look at this thing, Chandler, as far as what Dre said, what Mr. Live said, what Ab said, as far as some of these players, and then just contention or just playoff, just getting it back into the business? Because I don't even see the Knicks. It's pretty much between the Knicks and the Nets to me next season of who's going to finish last. It's almost kind of like this year, because the other three teams are ahead of us, are ahead of the curve. What's your thoughts, Chandler? We'll go back around.
Well, talent wise, again, you guys know I've been saying this all year. With a better coach, this team probably could have been an 8 seed. Team had enough talent, and all I got to do is look at Boston to say that, because I seriously doubt that Boston has more talent than the Knicks do without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And they're, what, a top three seed. So this team has enough talent to be a playoff team. I get why everybody keeps talking about small forward, but I would hate to see the Knicks draft the small forward because where are you going to play him? You can't trade Tim Hardaway. Nobody's taking him. Nobody's taking him. You already have a two-guard in Courtney Lee. Nobody's taking Courtney Lee. Everybody keeps forgetting you have Ron Baker. So when you draft this young small forward, when is he going to get to play? Because you're not going to have Tim Hardaway coming off the bench. The Knicks are not going to pay Tim Hardaway that money to come off the bench. I'm just being realistic when it comes to that. So I might agree that you might need a small forward, but I don't see the point in them drafting one because there's nowhere to play him because you already have too many redundant players at that position. To me, the Knicks need a big man. They need a big man. They need a big man. You need a big man. That's for me. Because you have enough guards. You have enough forwards. You don't have a true power forward. You really don't have a true center. So if I'm drafting, that's what I'm getting, is a true power forward or a true center. Somebody who's going to go in there and actually protect the rim, actually rebound, and actually defend in the paint and allow the Knicks, especially on the pick and rolls where the Knicks just get killed on pick and rolls. But until we see who the coach is, I can't really say which direction I think they're going to go until we see who the coach is. Like I said, I think this team, and I've said it all year, as presently constituted, this was a 7-8 seed team, as presently constituted, even without KP, with better coaching. So the question is who the coach is going to be for me. I get what everybody's saying about next year and this and that, and that all sounds well and good, but I also have to look at our track record for developing players. And until I see, again, that – I mean, we don't even have player development people at this point. We got one guy, Craig Robinson. One guy's not a player development department. You can't have one man as a player development department. So what is the plan for Frank? What is the plan for Trey Burke? What is the plan for Cornette? What are they going to do with those guys? Are they going to discourage guys from playing in the FIBA World Championships? Because Frank could go play in the FIBA World Championships. Is that something he should do, something he shouldn't do? All of those things. Is he going to be in France? Are they going to send somebody over there to train with him like they did with KP his rookie season where they sent somebody back home with him? Even though he was overseas, they had somebody there with him, working out with him every day, training, all of that. But draft-wise, honestly, for me, I want a big man because we have enough redundant players. We already have a small forward. His name's Tim Hardaway Jr. Might not like it, but that's our starting small forward.
Knickerbocker Avenue, what about yourself? Any additional thoughts with all that, what the guys have said?
I'm 100% with Chandler on this one because, you know, Courtney Lee's going to be here for $12.25 million. You're not going to, and I don't see anybody, you know, benching him and moving Tim Hardaway Jr. to the two spot. I just don't see it unless, again, depending on the coach, and you know, the coach would have to do a great convincing job in his new philosophy and offensive schemes. But until then, I'm partial to the big man. I've always been, a fan of, you know, really good athletic big men. And you know, the last few times the Knicks have drafted a big man, they've all been pretty much been. With the exception of Porzingis, it's all been pretty much a bust, and we're kind of due for one. I think we're due for, you know, a big quality big man. I don't know if it's in the draft though. I'm not 100% sold on any of these guys, you know, coming out of the pack. I'm not sold. I'm DeAndre Ayton for Arizona is not going to be there. I'm pretty sure that that Jaren Jackson Jr. is not going to be there. Bagley III ain't going to be there. So then what do you have left after that? I mean, yeah, Wendell Carter would be a nice piece to kind of complement, you know, especially if Kyle Quinn does leave and test out free agency and opts out. But I don't know. So I don't know if free agency would be, you know, where you fill that void. But again, it all depends on the coach. And since we don't have we have this big quagmire of uncertainty, you're absolutely right. I think a big man is needed, especially since you know Porzingis is going to be gone for at least the first 3 to 4 months of the season. So it's a conundrum to say the least.
What's the priorities in the big man that you want or need as far as if you draft them or you bring them in from through a free agent as a free agent acquisition?
I would say that would be like the after the coach, after, you know, once the coaching situation is done, and I would say that would probably be the next thing to do. Of course, you also want to make sure you lock up, you know, trade Burke to a much long, you know, much more secure deal. You want to make sure that you get Cornette to a much more secure long-term deal. But I think that would be the next big thing. And then after that, I think, you know, it's pretty much a quagmire at that point. Because again, we haven't even factored in the trades, the possible trades that Perry might make, especially come draft night. Because depending on where the Knicks fall in this lottery, it could be an indicator of where the Knicks are heading.
You know, I say that. I was going to say that if I see the logic on that, and I definitely agree. I actually would be in favor for a big man as well, a defensive-minded big man who could defend. Somebody like Bamba would be a good exact, but I don't know if he would be there though. If the Knicks were to pick him, or Knicks would be available to pick him, I doubt it. But that's something like that. Somebody who could rim protect, who could defend, change shots, because the Knicks definitely need that, probably more than anything. So you have that going with them as far as prospect. Now, Carter Jr. is a guy I'm very familiar with. But see, the thing, if he with him coming out or if he did come out, whatever, he has to get stronger. And he's going to be – I don't know if Knicks fans are that patient to work with him, man, because we already know how rapid this fan base, man. They're expecting 20 and 10 every night the moment he steps on the floor. And he's got to get stronger, and that's coming from his camp, people that's coached him over the years beyond Duke. So I want to go back to Mr. Live and then get Dre's opinion on anything else. Because I look at it like this, man. I understand the argument if you want to talk business, but I like Courtney Lee, and there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, bruh. If you have a different coach or you have a guy who's going to lead the squad, I just look at this whole 82-game season that Hardaway Jr. at the three position, it was just on a night in and night out basis. That's all the proof I needed to see that it's not going to work with him at the three if you're going to have Courtney Lee at the two. Doesn't mean that Courtney Lee can't come off the bench for that $12 million. And if that's not that's the problem is they probably should have dealt him, but they held on to him for whatever reason. So, no, Mr. Live, what about your thoughts as far as other guys that's been mentioned? A big man. You're optimistic on probably a playoff. So my thing is this, man. It's just like the teams ahead of us have gotten significantly better as the season went along, and who knows what it could look like. Going into next season, when you got Philadelphia, you got Toronto, you got Boston. I'm not really worried about the Nets. I just always start with our division and then work our way up. But Mr. Live, what other thoughts you have, man?
Well, again, going on the lines of the channel again, I believe the same thing he said. I believe with another coach, you know, somebody like Boston's coach, or maybe even Fizdale, you know, would have gotten this team at least closer to the playoffs, if not a seventh seed. You know, even, you know what I'm saying, it's not unfeasible at all. So, you know, I take a scenario with OKC. If OKC would have, you know what I'm saying, and this is going towards coaching, if OKC would have told Melo, brother, you got to play that bench spot. they would be in fifth place right now instead of, you know what I'm saying, clinging on the eighth. You understand what I'm saying? By this time this year, you would have had a strong second unit with one of the best scorers in the league. You know what I'm saying? Because of vanity, because of everything else, that didn't happen. Okay, so now, again, my thought process was always, again, as you said, Hardaway is not a three. He never was. You understand what I'm saying? He's not a water two. You know what I'm saying? He's a street shooter. You know what I'm saying? He's a negative John Starks. You know what I mean? So, you know, and not that much of a leader. You know what I'm saying? He got an attitude, but you know what I'm saying? It's not a lead. He you know what I'm saying? Taking shots don't mean you a leader. You know, willing to take 100 shots is not leading necessarily. You know what I'm saying? So again, you either trade Courtney Lee, or you have him coming off the bench at that too. Simple as that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
with
unfortunately,
that.
As Chandler provided for us, we have 100 guard type players. You know, so even though you know I want Knox. You understand what I'm saying? I want Knox to be that eighth, ninth, tenth pick, wherever we fall. I actually agree with him. You know what I'm saying? We need a five more than we need. You know what I'm saying? Well, more than we need a three because, you know, as the brother earlier, Dotson could fit that three spot. You know, if you're talking about drafting Mikal. You know, maybe Mikal is a better shooter, maybe a better defender as well, but Dotson could play that three. He's not going to do well defensively against the bigger threes, but still, that's why I want Knox. But we need somebody, because I can't stand Kanter. Okay, Kanter can't defend. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, so my thing is, I agree with him. I was looking at it. If we got the ninth or tenth, I'm saying, look, go for a big. I don't like Wendell Carter. Wendell Carter looks like a prototypical center. He don't look like he could defend the three any better than Kanter can defend. You know what I'm saying? My thing, I was looking at Mitchell Robinson or Jontay Porter. I was looking at one of those two guys for that five spot. You know, that's how close I think we are. You understand what I'm saying? We're only a couple of players away from – having a very solid 8-9 player rotation, even with all the cap space and cap problems, you know we have, we're not that bad off. So, even though I seriously want a real solid three, I'm not mad at drafting no five either. You know, taking that first pick and drafting five, we could use that second pick to. The work out
of
number three.
All right, let's go to little Dre to the right. Dre, anything else you'd like to add, man, as far as what everybody else has said? Matter of fact, if you have any questions or comments for if you want to ask Chandler or Mr. Live or Avenue or myself something directly on our opinion, we can have that interactive dialogue and we could get into some NBA playoff stuff. Calling for Dre. Dre to the rat. Little Dre to the rat. Maybe he's not there. All right. Maybe he's on mute. All right. I'm all cool with that, man. Av. So how we looking, man? As far as NBA playoff stuff, man. I saw that Minnesota beat Denver. The East is. Well, we can start with the East though. But Av, how you looking at this stuff with the NBA playoffs?
Well, I find it really interesting that Mr. Live was just talking about OKC, you know, being stuck to the eight, and now they're five or six. It's kind of interesting how just in a matter of seconds, all the situations has kind of been. They're the sixth seed now, so now they'll be playing the Utah Jazz in round one. But let's start, like you said, let's start with the East. I don't see a lot of great matchups in the first round for the Eastern Conference. I mean, yeah, the Cleveland-Indiana series would be kind of interesting, and maybe the Philadelphia-Miami Heat series. That would be somewhat interesting, but I don't smell any kind of upset situation or any kind of something out of the ordinary. I just look at Toronto playing the Wizards. I don't see how the Wizards can really compete with Toronto at all. A 4 or 5 game series in that aspect would not be so much out of the question. Boston and Milwaukee, that might be a little bit tougher series, but I still see Boston taking care of business probably in 5 games. Philadelphia and Miami, like I said, that's a little bit more interesting, especially since Milwaukee kind of saved themselves. They just got embarrassed in Philadelphia, and so they avoid having to face them in the first round. That would be probably a good six game series, and Cleveland, Indiana, that would be probably another 5 or 6 game series. I don't foresee any kind of like major surprises or any kind of upsets in the first round of the East.
All right, Chandler, what about you? We're looking at the Eastern Conference as far as the first round matches. What's your thoughts on each of the games? And then we can go to Mr. Livin and Dre, and I'll weigh in on that.
Philly-Miami is going to be a good series because Hassan Whiteside hates Joel Embiid. And when Hassan Whiteside is focused, and I'm qualifying that by saying when he's focused, Hassan Whiteside is just as good as Joel Embiid when he's focused. And I've watched him play against Embiid, and when he plays Embiid, he brings his game. Hassan Whiteside can match Joel Embiid in whatever he wants to do other than the three-point thing. So I think that's going to be a really good series. Boston-Milwaukee, I actually think Milwaukee wins that series because, honestly, at this point, who's left in Boston? Kyrie's not playing. Gordon Hayward's not playing. Al Horford is still a little banged up. You don't have Marcus Smart. Greg Monroe is Greg Monroe. He's still coming off the bench. He's going to get you points. But when I look at player for player, I actually think Milwaukee has more talent right now than Boston. Boston may be better coached. So I think that will actually be a good series. Washington and Toronto is trash because it's two teams that choke constantly. So I think that's going to be the ugliest series, the most boring one. But I think Toronto takes that because, Washington – come on. They shouldn't. They're the 8th seed, and we all know they should be about a 4 or 3 seed with all that talent they got. And Cleveland, Indiana is only going to be good if the Victor Oladipo we've seen all season shows up. If we get All-Star Victor Oladipo, then I give it 6 games. If we get the Orlando Oladipo or the Oklahoma City Oladipo, that might be a sweep. So the East to me is just. Like I said, to me, there's really only going to be one good series, and that's Philly-Miami.
All right, let's go to Mr. Live, man. What's your thoughts on the Eastern Conference first round, and then we go to Dre?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what the brother Chandler said, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was getting ready to say, I believe Boston is out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like truthfully, man, I don't even – and that ain't even – necessarily because of all the injuries, man. That guy, Antetokounmpo, man, he's gonna black. You know what I'm saying? His first playoff series. I even think they got that the Bucks got the rookie of the year last year coming back up. You know what I'm saying, from injury. So it's like, Boston is better coach, man, but they ain't got no men. And Tatum and Brown is they playing out their mind, but that's their sum. That's the end all of Boston. I mean, my brother from Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? Like he's a trooper, and he's not gonna let him go down, man, but he's just one guy. You know what I'm saying? So that series is a wrap. Whiteside is gonna punch Embiid back in his mask. He's going wild out on Embiid. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think their skill wise, I don't think they're matched, but they strong and Whiteside is athletic enough to stop that dude. And when I say stop, I mean he's athletic enough to come out on the perimeter for him. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe not a 4-3 or whatever the case may be, but to come out on Joel Embiid, you know what I'm saying, on the perimeter, he's athletic enough to recover with his little bull crap pump fake and back down. That's going to be a great – that's going to be a real good situation right there. Those games are going to be good. The league is not going to let Oladipo be no Cinderella, so you can forget that. You know what I'm saying? LeBron's going to make at least the second round. That's a wrap right there. And Toronto and Washington, I think the league wants more John Wall to be that guy, and they want the collective juggernaut that's Toronto. I love the way Toronto is built, man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but if Toronto wins, it's going to be because they go 10 deep. You know what I'm saying? So, the East first round situation is not that I'll probably be looking at a lot of SportsCenter on that.
All right, Dre, what about you as far as the Eastern Conference first round NBA?
I'm sorry for that. My phone was acting up, but with the Eastern Conference first round, Toronto, Washington, it's just whoever give or take, whoever actually come and show up with them, so I'm not really guaranteed. So with them, but if I had to pick one, I can probably actually see Toronto coming out only because what Lai said, like they rolled 10 deep. The Boston and Milwaukee, with both teams dealing with injuries with key players, especially with Boston, I can still say Boston will still come out. But I think that could probably go to game 7 because I believe Tatum and Brown will still come up to what they was playing. And we can't forget about Terry Rozier. And there was another dude off that bench, but I can't remember him right now. But anyway, that right there would have to say 7 games. Philly and the Miami, I might just have to say Miami going to only get 1 game. Yes, they can watch. I know it sounds hard, but, man, I know Hassan can check Joel Embiid, but it's just with so many other weapons and Ben Simmons, and not to mention that Markel started coming back, and so many other shooters and other people that can just do other things, especially Robert Covington, he is going to be the X factor. And with the Miami, it's just – they got a little bit more experience, but they just – the firepower, I just don't see it. Unless Dragic, I think Josh Richardson play out their mind. Other than that, I'm telling you, 5 games. And with Cleveland to Pacers, I'm going to have to save about 5-6 games. With Victor Oladipo playing at – if I give him the most improved player of the year – but with a player that's just only having that much of a year, all of a sudden, it's hard to really say, like, because now it's like we don't know if he's going to come up and show. Because Pacers, I don't really know anybody outside of Miles Turner, the other European dude for the small forward, I can't remember his name, that can really help him. Like, he's going to have to at least drop 30 each of those games for them to even be in it. Point blank period. So that's why I had to say for them about 5-6 games. That's pretty much it.
All right, I'll be real quick. I'll say Toronto in 6 over Washington. They had the easiest draw probably for this for what they could have. And like Chandler said, they don't play to the potential in the Washington Wizards, man. So I can see Toronto breezing through them in 6 and then calling it a wrap. Who's 2-7? Boston, Milwaukee. You know what? I wouldn't surprise me if Milwaukee be based on the situation with all these injuries with the Celtics that Milwaukee beats them. I wouldn't even call it an upset, you know. So sometimes it's the luck of the draw, and sometimes it is the skills that they bring. And I thought Milwaukee played a hell of a series last year versus Toronto, and I think they could build upon on that. I know they had Jason Kidd as their head coach last year, and they've been in between coaches. We see, you know, we've seen a lot of Milwaukee. They're a big, they're long and athletic, as we already know. And without certain key guys from the Celtics, I think Milwaukee could run with them. I think it was one or two games I saw Boston and Milwaukee play against each other. And I thought to myself, I thought Milwaukee matched up very well because they could go to the paint at will, even with Horford in the lineup. And that's just what Milwaukee can do, man. So the Celtics, they just play hard. They coach well. But I don't know if that could run its course versus a Milwaukee team, man. Cleveland, I say Cleveland in five, and that's ironically because I think last year Indiana had a chance to steal one or two of those games at Cleveland last year when Paul George was on the team. And Oladipo, I could see a few games out of him balling, and even if he did, I think they really the two teams are too familiar with each other. And LeBron, at the end of the day, is just going to do what he needs to do, will his way through Indiana. I just don't see Indiana beating them at all, regardless who they throw at LeBron and no matter what roster he brings into the postseason. Now, with the Philadelphia-Miami series, we get to see the Philadelphia team is kind of interesting because they were just adding pieces as the season went. They added more shooting and more shooting, and that's what they needed out of a guy where you have a guy that can post up, face forward, and even shoot the three in Joel Embiid. And then you got Ben Simmons just running the show as a point forward. Didn't even need Markel Fultz the majority of the year. And they had that pesky point guard McConnell as well to come off the bench and orchestrate off the bench and set up guys' shots. There's no ego at that point guard position unless it's the point forward. And then you add Ilyasova, you add in Bellinelli, and you add in Covington. They got a lot of pieces that it just. Oh yeah, JJ Redick. You got shooters everywhere, and I think that. But here's the thing: I think Miami could compete because they play hard defense. We see Miami defense all year. They don't have like stars, but they're in that culture, man. That's why Udonis. We said over and over, like Udonis has one of that last guy on the bench because he's part of that culture. They're gonna play a lot of defense, man. Now I don't know how long it's gonna keep. They do have that experience, especially in the playoffs the last couple of seasons. Spoelstra is an okay head coach. So I still think Philadelphia will win in six. Am I missing a season? I think that's it for the East. So, Ab, let's get to the West. So who did we – okay, Minnesota gets it, so they get Houston. Oh, that's a fun series.
It is.
Golden State, San Antonio. You got Utah. Utah should be number three. Utah and OKC, and then Portland and the Pelicans. So, Ev, how do you look at the West?
The West is actually is more of a crapshoot because you got, like, seeds 3 through 7, I think it is, all within, like, a game of each other. So, this year the Eastern Conference had more winning teams in the West, but just the amount of competition that and parity you have in the West is crazy. Houston and Minnesota, I think that can go six games. To be honest with you, I think that they have enough young talent to make it exciting. Golden State and San Antonio, I'm sorry, but I don't think San Antonio is going to make a dent. That'll probably go. I can probably spot them one. Portland and New Orleans, that's going to be a fun series. That can go seven easy. And same thing with Utah and Oklahoma City. But I have Oklahoma City beating Utah, and I haven't beaten them in seven. I have Portland beating New Orleans in seven. And that's just – I mean, it's a lot – I think there's a lot more excitement on the Western Conference side because you had so many teams that were just first – fighting to get into the playoffs, let alone so close, compact together in terms of record wise, in terms of the level of competition, and of course the quality of the teams that they're dealing with. I mean, I think OKC can put up a lot of buckets, and I think that they're finally going to be able to to pay off the fact that they brought in Carmelo Anthony specifically for this reason, and I think that with the fact that Melo's been out of the playoffs for the last 3 years, I think that actually rejuvenate him, and I think he'll he'll have a good series. And Portland and New Orleans, that's gonna, I got Portland, but that can go either way. I just see those two teams, beating up each other because both teams got got quality strengths, and they balance each other out a little bit. But I can't really put money against Damian Lillard in that situation. I'm just sorry.
Well, that's definitely a good chance because I think that game is in session as we speak. So Utah is playing Portland. So whoever wins that game should lock up the three. So
right.
Portland's not even locked in at the four. So let's say it's Portland. It could be Portland OKC or Utah OKC at 3-6.
All right. So if it's Portland and OKC, I got OKC in seven.
Seven?
I see them going seven. I can't because now you're putting a crazy spin on it. Utah and New Orleans. I think I'll go Utah in six. And that's just basically me flipping a coin there because it can go either way. I see only six games go for that series, but the winner is really a toss up. But I'm just gonna go Utah beating New Orleans in six.
All right, what about you, Chandler? The Western Conference.
Houston, Minnesota. I think it's gonna be a good series. I think it goes seven, but I think Houston wins. Golden State, San Antonio. San Antonio gets maybe one game. At this point, he did maybe one game. It's the 3-6 matchup that's the most interesting. As you guys have said, it's the 3-6 matchup because whether you like Carmelo Anthony, dislike Carmelo Anthony, he has been totally misused in Oklahoma City.
Thank you.
Totally misused. Okay? He has been totally misused. And he gets misused on a regular basis. Based on the fact that Russell Westbrook just refuses to do anything but chase triple doubles and chase stats. If Oklahoma City plays Utah, Oklahoma City's losing. And I agree that Carmelo will be rejuvenated and everything else, but I don't think he'll be used properly because Carmelo Anthony should be that guy with your second unit that goes out there and dominates. And they refuse to do that with him, and I don't understand why. And then you got you got Houston. Hold on, I lost it. Hold on 1 second. Conference. You got Houston, Minnesota. And then Portland would play New Orleans. Again, I got to go with Dame and McCollum over Anthony Davis in that one. And then if you flip it where it's Portland playing Oklahoma City, I think Oklahoma City can outlast Portland. But I honestly think Utah wins their first round series no matter who they play. They're playing that well right now. Of course, tonight they're losing right now, but I just think Utah's got something going, man. But the Western Conference is going to be fire. All of these series, outside of maybe Golden State, San Antonio, I think all these series go at least six games. All of them go at least six games.
All right. That is Chandler. Let's go to Mr. Lott. What about you on the Western Conference?
Yeah, well, 1-8. A lot of minds is what I want to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, Minnesota, man, I want Tibbs I want him to debunk D'Antoni's system, get that garbage out of there. You understand what I'm saying? I want the whole team locked down. That might go seven. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, Timberwolves is gonna win, but I hope they do. That's gonna be a really good game, and it might take a lot out of Houston. Golden State Warriors, the same thing. They'll, you know, San Antonio will be lucky if they get one. You know, they need Kawhi badly for that series to hold somebody down, at least to guard Durant. Because, you know, it's a wrap after that. That's done. Again, we looking at. I don't think no team in that third spot is beating the Thunder. Particularly because I believe Carmelo Anthony probably said this yesterday. You know, knowing my dude, he's like, look, the hole is black when the ball comes through me, so y'all better not pass it to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm gonna take it into the paint. I'm gonna do what made me the most unstoppable scorer in this league. And if they would just do that, man, and you know, as the ball slows down in the playoffs, man, I think, and I'm hoping, because again, Billy Donovan is a garbage coach, man. He's just as garbage as D'Antoni, just as non-calling a play as D'Antoni. And there is the reason why Melo has had such a – because he's not a spot-up shooter. Does the man shoot 36-37% from the three-point line for his career? That's not a spot-up shooter. So why would you do that to him? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there's no one on Utah that can hold Melo over there. Portland, Westbrook is abusing both the point guard and the guard, McCullough and you know what I'm saying, and the point guard over there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So there's nobody to hold anybody on the team. So it's a wrap, man. And you know, New Orleans, man, you know, this is probably the second time on the Brown get into the playoffs, man. He's going to show out. He's going to show out. So, you know, no matter who he get between Portland and Utah, you know what I'm saying? I think he wins that one. I think he takes that.
All right, let's go to Lil J to the right. What about you in the Western Conference?
Oh man, first seed in A with Houston and Minnesota. Definitely, that's gonna have to go to six games. Definitely going to look at that only because of how deep their bench goes, and with Wiggins, Butler, and then not to mention Towns, because Clint Capella can hold down the position, but I'm not sure he's going to hold down at Towns now. But Golden State and Spurs, that's a sweep. What Lav just said with OKC and with Utah, because the players just are a whole nother breed. You're going to face the whole team, the same exact team, over and over again until whoever gets four games. And I really don't see no one outside of Donovan or Rudy Gobert that can really step up like them to propel themselves over to Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder just got too much power, and they just got so many more defense players. Like, they got not only us, Westbrook, but Steven Adams, then Patrick Patterson, not to mention their extremely athletic Terrence Ferguson. It's just too much. Even if same thing, they even faced at Portland. Now, if it was New Orleans or Utah, then that's a game seven to win it takes all. Like, that one is just a 50-50 for me. And then, but if they go against Portland, I'm going to have to go with Dame Dollar. They just got – Damian Lillard is just a whole – underrated or not, he is just someone you just can't take your eyes off for even 1 second. Same thing with C.J. McCollum, and they got some dark horses on the team, like the rookie Zach Collins, and I think even Evan Turner when he comes up. But that's pretty much it. At least I got to say.
All right. Let me say this real quick before we wrap up. Houston and Minnesota. I think Houston will take that in I'll say seven games, man. I'll go as much as seven games. I think Houston, they'll get to the line, though. Harden's going to get to the line. Chris Paul's going to get to the line. Clint Capella is a very, I would say, underrated, but he fits what they do. He doesn't ask for much. He just goes out there, defends, get cheap buckets and rebound. But Karl-Anthony Towns is a load, man. Now, if Karl-Anthony Towns could avoid cheap fouls and stay out of foul trouble, I think that, of course, he's the better player between the two. It's really about Houston's jacking up three-pointers and if Minnesota can really keep up with that scoring. Because whoever's going to D up on James Harden at the top of the key, I don't see it's going to be Anthony Wiggins. I don't see that being Chet Teague. It could be Jimmy Butler. They might throw a whole Tom Thibodeau may throw a whole bunch of guys. So that's the unique thing about this. You have an offensive head coach versus a guy who's a defensive minded head coach. So it's going to be a lot of give and take on the extremes on both of those ends, man. So I don't think, you know, maybe it comes down to a close game if Minnesota has the ball and they go to Jamal Crawford, a guy we're all familiar with, for game-winning shot situations. Or, of course, if Houston has the ball, of course it's going to be James Harden. But I think it's going to be Houston over Minnesota. I think they know that what's at stake for them. This is a great shot for them to make it to an NBA Finals for the first time, in 20 years, 22 years. So I think they have a chance to starting with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I think that's fine. And I think Golden State, for what it is, we all know about, I think Steph Curry's still hurt. And they found the right team to get the draw. I don't think San Antonio could run with them. They just haven't been themselves. That Kawhi Leonard situation has been janky all year long for them. They had nobody, they contain with Draymond Green. LaMarcus Aldridge is an okay player, but I don't think that was the investment the Spurs were they thought they were going to get as far as to compete on a playoff level. You got the physicalness of Draymond Green, you got Kevin Durant, of course, and Klay Thompson, and whatever the status of his shooting arm or his hand, and then, of course, their bench. So I see Golden State with no problems. I can see Golden State at five easily. And then the situation is between whoever's going to be the three and the six. So let's say Oklahoma's at the six and Portland's at the three. I think Oklahoma City could beat Utah. I think Portland's a little different. I think Portland, with their two-guard combination with McCullough and of course, Damian Lillard, could make things a little bit interesting versus OKC. OKC, to me, I thought they would have done a lot bit better than what they've done this year. And it seems to me, and I don't know how y'all guys, I'm not saying Russell Westbrook is not a competitor, but it looks to me, some of these games, more about some of these stats, man, about padding these stats that they got, you know. So I don't know whose background noise is that. We'll figure that out. So my thing is this. Just mute your lines, guys. Oklahoma City, Utah. I think Oklahoma City beats Utah. I think Portland could get past an OKC if they were to match up. And who's next? 4-5. So New Orleans and whoever the other team is. So if it's New Orleans, Utah, I think Utah has the advantages. Utah's played very well, man. And especially since they made that trade, it got the other pieces with sending Ronnie Hood and ended up getting Jay Crowder. And the team has got a little bit better pieces. Donovan Mitchell has played excellent basketball. And I don't think nobody said he was going to be the rookie of the year the night of the NBA draft. And kudos to him, man, being a local product as well. Rudy Gobert, who's missed several games this year, and him and the big man matchup are going to have to go out there and play Anthony Davis. He's more of a stay-home center where Anthony Davis could shoot from the perimeter. He could put the ball on the floor. So that should be a little fun matchup as well. So that's all remaining to be seen, depending on the late games that happens, of course. So let's go around for final thoughts. Let's start with Knight Chandler. So, Chandler, your final thoughts on the last game for the New York Knicks this season, and then anything else you would like to add, and then we'll go around to everybody else. But Knight Chandler 7 on Twitter, your final thoughts.
Well, until Well, for me, I mean, the season has a lot of downs. It has some ups. We have some talent. Can we develop it? And you know what? Jeff Hornacek has to go. And I need to know Scott Perry is actually in charge and not Steve Mills. That's it.
Night Channel 7 on Twitter. Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to Mr. Live. Mr. Live, your final thoughts as well.
Again, man, I'm actually quite pleased. Again, you know, us acquiring Burke and coming out looking like he's a solid player. The acquisition of Williams, you know, puts me in a better position than I was a month ago, you know, as far as where we at as a team and what we'll look like next year. Again, we in the ninth spot. Thank you, Cleveland, for being clairvoyant enough to lock up the AFC with that loss. Bad thing with the Knicks. They should have lost one of them other games. But again, I'm really good. I think if Perry shows his leadership, we can come out, you know, after the summer league looking like a solid team. So yeah, I'm good. Y'all brothers be good, man. You know what I'm saying? Nice talking to everybody.
All right, that's Mr. Live. Thank you very much. Little Drake to the Rack on Instagram. Your final thoughts as well. Go to Little Drake to the Rack.
With everything with the Knicks, like I said, it was like as soon as we find more stability, then you'll see more success, point blank period. The Western Conference, and even most of the East is going to be something to watch. Especially, I will have to keep an eye out, especially on Donovan Mitchell, because they're like a nice, with Gobert, like nice little duo that can really stay around this league for about a good 3-4 more years. Now, with the Knicks, if they can get somehow even lucky with the draft, if this player can fall to him, I think his last name was Bam, I think for the Texans Longhorn. When I look at this dude, he reminds me of Gobert. Now, if the Knicks can, I don't know, like saying the Knicks would get him because they have to be listed to be a top 7 pick, but if they could, that would be lightning in the bottle, at least in my opinion.
Little Dre to the Rack on Instagram on his final thoughts, man. Dre, thank you very much. Of course, Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets on our New York Knicks, our last regular season game for this episode for this season. But your final thoughts, sir, and tell everybody how you can be found on social media.
As always, that Nick Buck I have on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Look, the season is over. I'm still very thankful for, you know, the amount of dialogue and the great perspectives that we've gotten. And, you know, time will let us know what the future holds for the New York Knicks. I mean, we own our first round pick, and we have 2 second round picks coming up in this draft. one via the Oklahoma City trade, and one from another one. And we don't know what the real future holds in terms of when it comes to Jeff Hornacek, when it comes to any other coaches, and of course all the other players that we do have under contract, and who opts in and who opts out and try to test free agency. But hey, it shows real character that to all the Knicks fans who stay loyal to the team, stay loyal to the city, stay loyal to to even the players at times. And of course, stay loyal to this to this platform, because we do this. We did it during the 17-win season. We did it, you know, when Phil Jackson started messing things up. After he started messing things up, and now we're still here. And we'll be back here next season to do it again. It's gonna be an interesting summer. But I look forward to talking Yankees baseball, because we beat the Red Sox today. Coming up on Monday and. As always, Sangre de Azul, bleed blue all day, every day. Nick McAsh signing out. Great season, guys. Good night.
Yeah, I want to shout out to all those who chimed in on Knickerbocker Avenue and the Bleed Blue Show as far as head coach search. So shout out to Dante, who wanted to go with Jeff Van Cundy on his head coaching search. Shout outs to Eric, Mark Jackson. Shout outs to TJ, who said Rod Strickland. Let's see. Shout outs to Rob, who also said Mark Jackson. Marvin, who said Mark Jackson. Jimmy said Mark Jackson. Ronnie said Mark Jackson. Eric says Van Gundy on Mark Jackson. And then, of course, Joe said Mark Jackson. So a lot of Mark Jackson feedback. Mark Jackson dominated the who you want as the head coach for the New York Knicks poll of the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, man. Great episode, as always, and all the stakeholders. Week in and week out, man. Every day we talk sports during the week. Shout-outs to the stakeholders that listen in and share our episodes and share and retweet our content. And great for the stakeholders, man. Mr. Lie, Little Drake to the Rat, Night Channel 7, the Gear Drift Podcast, the great episodes talking on Spreaker.com, and, of course, Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. NBA playoffs. We'll be back next Wednesday to talk Knicks, a little bit of Knicks, maybe a tad bit of Knicks, depending on the news, and, of course, the NBA playoffs. So, guys, come on, have a good week, man. It's always great therapy. Talking with our family, man, on here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum Podcast, man. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.